Good morning, Poplar Springs. To all of you here and those of you joining us online, a few announcements today. This, again, is from the office. Just a reminder that the last day to turn in any tithes or offerings for it to be counted for this year on your taxes is Tuesday, December 29th. So not this Tuesday, but next. And if you're contributing through PayPal, please also do that by the 29th of December. That will give Vicki in our office all the time to do all the things she needs to do to get that in the system. We will still have our candlelight service. That is this Wednesday at 6 o'clock in the sanctuary. Seating and everything will be just as it is now with pews marked off, but that will be 6 o'clock. It will also be live streamed for anyone who wants to join. Usually after our candlelight service, we have our Christmas party. So we will not be having a Christmas party, but Santa called me this week. And he still wants to show up. So Santa is going to be here outside the Family Life Center, waving for you to drive by. You can tell him what you want out the window. I think he has a gift for you if you come. You can leave your letter for him, any of that. That will be Wednesday after our candlelight service outside the Family Life Center. He does want you to know you can't sit in his lap because he's trying to stay healthy so you can get all those presents delivered. So you can only just wave at him, but he will be here. Something we did this past summer was we put a concert up online for you to enjoy of lots of our singers at church, and we're going to be doing that again. We have a Christmas concert that will air this Friday, the 18th, at 7 p.m. So any of the ways that you typically stream our services, those will all be available. Since we can't have a cantata here at church and we can't get lots of people together to sing, we have put together that concert, and thanks to Gary and everyone who has put lots and lots of time and hours into putting that together, but this Friday at 7 o'clock. All right, and you noticed maybe when you came in a beautiful bouquet of roses out front, and those are in honor of Ronnie and Barbara Kale. Today is their 50th wedding anniversary, and they're here, so we can clap for them. They're right over there. And I've been asked to read just a short little bit. So Ronnie and Barbara met in 1969 on a blind date set up by family members. They went out to the movies to see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And the next thing you know, Ronnie was invited to the Bridges house about twice a week for homemade ice cream with the family every week after that first date. They got married a short year later on December 13th, 1970, just 2 days after Ronnie's birthday. They honeymooned in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, overlooking the ocean, and when asked, "How did you know Barbara was the one?" Ronnie replied, "She spoiled me. I had never had that much attention and love ever." And when asked the same question, Barbara answered, "I saw him, I liked him, and I had to have him." Especially since her sisters told her, "You better hang on to that one." Their love has been a wonderful example for so many years for their children and grandchildren, and I'll add their church family. And a true example of agape love, the kind of love only a few of us are lucky to find and to keep for a lifetime. So Ronnie and Barbara, congratulations. If you will turn your eyes to our Advent wreath, we'll begin in worship with our Advent reading for today. Today we light the joy candle. Today we light the third Advent candle, the candle of joy. This candle reminds us of the exceeding great joy that filled the hearts of those who experienced firsthand the birth of our Savior, and calls us to embrace that same joy as we continue to worship him even today. If you'll pray with me. God, you alone are the source of our joy. Rekindle your joy within us. Remind us daily, God, of your goodness to us. Call us to throw off the things of this world and rejoice in our salvation. As we worship you today, we will rejoice with the joyful hearts as we celebrate the coming of our Savior. Amen.
Look there. I don't know if I can do this. A lot of you probably know this is my last Sunday here for a while. And I thought getting up here this morning was going to be an easy thing. Saying goodbye is never easy. But under these circumstances, it's almost impossible. You guys don't know that the Christmas Quadlibet was the one song that Pam loved more than any other. She loved singing with her children. We sang it every Christmas, and we sang it every time we had an opportunity, even throughout the year, which was anathema in my house because we didn't sing Christmas songs throughout the year except the Christmas Quadlibet. What a blessing that song was to me this morning. And I wanted to say what a blessing you all have been to me for the past 5 months. It's not a secret what my family has been through since Pam passed away. But what may be a secret is I don't know that I could have made it through this time without you folks. Without the love and support and prayer and unconditional expressions of love that only the body of Christ can bring. And I'm so, so eternally grateful for it. My desire in my retirement, and I'm retiring Friday, moving to Colorado to be with Joe and Lisa for a while, but my desire is to serve the Lord wherever I go, to take the love that I have received here and magnify that in places that might not see it otherwise. So I covet your prayers. I know I'm here to be praying for others this morning, but I covet your prayers for me and for my family. Many of us have gone through a tough time. 2020 has not been easy for anyone, and I don't mean to make light of what everyone's been through, but I think 2021 hopefully carries the promise of a better time for all of us. And I will be praying for each and every one of you as I leave this place. Trust me, I will not be a stranger to Papa Spring Church, nor to this community or this state. I'll be back. But in the meantime, pray for me. Pray for grace and peace and strength. And pray that even though I can't celebrate 50 years of marriage with Pam, that I'll remember her for 50 years. I'm sorry. This morning, we have several folks to pray for. Phyllis Wilson, I just found out as we came in this morning, is back in the hospital. I think we're just beginning to become aware of that. Phyllis continues to have issues with her heart. And Ray and I know the family would cover your prayers for her as well. She's had a tough time throughout this year. I also found out that Brett Elliott, that's Vicky's husband, is having spinal surgery tomorrow in Charlotte. He's had a tough time for a good long while, and I know they would appreciate those as well. I want to read Andy's comments verbatim because, let's face it, it's Andy's comments, and sometimes I can't adequately convey what he's trying to say, nor can anybody else, really, not even Ken. Thanks to the church for your many acts of encouragement, kindness, and generosity. I now understand, after 63 years, what many of you have faced, and a majority much worse than my situation. God is good. Amen to that. The second privilege that I have this morning, in addition to praying for this church, is to introduce our speaker this morning. Aaron Hinton doesn't need a lot of introduction here. We all know and love and are inspired by Aaron and his service here and his family's service here. I didn't even know this until this morning, and I mentioned this to Aaron when I came in. Aaron's favorite scripture verse is my favorite scripture verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, and most of us know that scripture. It's Paul's reminder to us that when you're in Christ, you're a new creation. And I think sometimes it's so easy to forget what that means, how profound that can be for each and every one of us. You are a new person in every sense of the word. And I encourage you this morning to take that love of Christ and let it transform you so that that love can transform others as well. I'm going to read your bio from your deacon posting down there because I thought it was kind of neat. Because I was thinking about what I wanted to say about Aaron, and I didn't really want to formalize it. But then I saw that, and I thought, I got to read this. Aaron has been a member of Poplar Springs since 2018. Is that right? Member, but you've been here for longer. He's married to Downey, and together they share three children, Luke, James, and Reese, three of the most precious children in the world. Love all three of those kids. Aaron works as the Director of Advancement for Christian Service at Garden Webb University. In his free time, Aaron enjoys spending time with his family, watching sports, and visiting Tanzania. I bet many don't have that on their list of things they enjoy doing. Andy would say he always prayed he didn't have to go to Tanzania. That was one of the things he told God he didn't want to do. But Aaron is a joy to us, and Aaron is a Christ follower here and in the community, and I'm so proud to know him. I will miss people like Aaron Hinton and the rest of you as I go forth from this place, but I'll be inspired by your example here. Let's pray this morning. Holy Father, Jesus the Messiah, Holy Spirit, I pray for your blessings on this place, that each and every family that's here, Father, or those that are watching online today, would be reminded of the great presence of Christ in the world today. At a time that we are so troubled, Lord, and so burdened, you still come alongside us because you love us. You love us unconditionally, and you want your love to flow through us to others. So, Lord, I pray for your wisdom and discernment, that as we go from this place today, we'll take the love of Christ to the world and let it transform. Let it make new creations out of so many. I pray for Andy, Father. Desperately pray for Andy and Kim and the boys and their families, and I just pray that you'll continue to heal him, that everything that he's been through, Father, will be a success. And I pray for Brett and for Phyllis and for others that have gone unspoken this morning, Father, and we celebrate with Ronnie and Barbara this morning, their families, the joy of having been together for 50 years. And Father, I pray that as I leave this place, I'll be reminded, Father, that Papa Springs is in good hands because of people like Aaron Hinton and everyone else here. So bless them, Father. Bless them with service and fellowship. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Robert. As we begin this morning, we lit the candle of joy. So I would like for you to take a second and find someone close to you. If they're not in your family, maintain the 6-foot barrier. Or if you are by yourself at home or wherever you find yourself, maybe if you're on a pew by yourself, think about or share one of your favorite Christmas memories. Now, not one that takes 30 minutes to tell, but just think about for just a second or share with your neighbor. I'll give you just a few seconds. Share with your neighbor one of your favorite Christmas memories. Go. Here's one of the amazing things about Christmas memories. It's really hard to share your favorite Christmas memory without smiling. Did you notice that? As you shared your stories, and I would imagine even those of you that just thought about your stories, there's a lot of happiness involved. Maybe even the word that we use today, joy. A funny story from my childhood that brings me joy when I think about it happened over the Christmas season and into the winter. There was a sign at First Baptist Church, Lenore. You see, First Baptist sits on Main Street in Lenore, right across from the courthouse. And on the corner of the property owned by First Baptist Church, Lenore, across the street from the courthouse, there's a sign. And on both sides of the sign, so that either street that you're on, it says, First Baptist Lenore. It's a nice church sign. Well, at some point along the way where there was a little bit of frost, ice, and snow on the sign, me and one of my best friends in elementary school, Chris Baker, got the bright idea that we should write our name in that ice. Well, those of you that have ever written on a window or had a child write on your window when there's ice, there's this magical chemical reaction that happens, and once the ice goes away, the name stays for a really long time. So for months on end, it said, First Baptist Lenore, Chris and Aaron. And that's all well and good, except when your dad's one of the ministers of the church, and it's pretty easy to know that Aaron is his oldest son. Oops. A name can mean so much. And here we are this Advent season preparing for the birth of a baby that changed the world with a name that means so much. Would you pray with me? Dear God, this morning, give us a chance to rest. Give us a chance to be renewed. And God, fill us with your joy. It's in your precious and Holy Son's name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you today, I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll be beginning in verse 18. This is one of the parts of the Christmas story as told in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the story of Joseph, so it will be a familiar story to many of you. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 begins this way. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, that the virgin would conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. The character of Joseph is such a great witness to us. And I must confess, I often wish my legacy would be a little more like Joseph's, because sometimes I talk too much. Some of you can relate to that. Russell Hamrick, wherever you are today, I know you're one. Those of you that know Russell know the humor of that joke. You see, the authors of the gospel, in fact, the authors of the entire New Testament, don't record any of the words of Joseph. We never get to hear his thoughts, his joys, his angers, his fears, complaints, prayers, anything. We never get to read his spoken words. But his actions were so right. And he was such an example of faithful living. You see, Joseph had a choice. Verse 19 reads this way. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He had in mind to be gracious to Mary, even though he was going to be faithful to the Jewish law. You see, he could have left Mary because she was pregnant and nobody knew why. So he could just leave her according to their law, and that was okay. And Joseph was faithful and a righteous man, so he was going to do that within the law, but in a most gracious way. That is until God showed up. The angel of the Lord comes to Joseph in a dream, and he shows that he is more faithful to God than anything else in the world. What a testimony for us today. We don't know his words, but we certainly see his actions. There's probably a politician or two that could learn from old Joseph. But you know, there's probably a doctor, a delivery man, or woman, a lawyer, a teacher, a business owner, a banker, a farmer, a student, and yeah, probably even a pastor or two could learn from him as well. In December of 2008, my wife, Downey, was pregnant, 6 months pregnant, with our first child, Luke. Thanks to modern technology, I knew that he would be a boy. I felt the pressure of giving him a name. My firstborn son. I wanted him to have a strong name. I wanted it to be a short name so that he would have no trouble writing it in school. And most importantly of all, I did not want to give him a name that would be really, really easy to pick on him and make fun of him. Because children sometimes can, and teenagers can be, and adults, can be ruthless. So it was my goal to not give him a name that we could easily be made fun of. Some of you will remember the famous Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue. And I refused to do that to my son. Now, being the father of two boys and one princess who rules the universe, just ask her, she'll let you know. I remembered that pressure when I read those verses from Matthew with new eyes. You see, I often read over the part that it is Joseph who is given the commission by the angel to name the baby Jesus. And Joseph did as he was commanded. The scriptures don't offer any arguments between Joseph and the angel in his dream. It doesn't show how they debated what to name the child that Mary had been blessed with. There's no writing of how Jesus told the angel, you know, John, Jacob, or how about Joseph Jr.? Those have a nice ring to it. Or maybe he woke up the next morning and thought, man, that must have been some bad Mexican I ate last night. There's no way I could do that. There's not even a scene of argument that there's no way God could be calling him to stay with this now pregnant, unwed teenage girl. Can you imagine what that would look like today? Probably raise a few eyebrows. You sure about that, Joe? You sure you're going to stay with Mary? God called Joseph to take Mary and to name the baby Jesus. And Joseph obeyed. What about that name? The name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of a common Hebrew word, Joshua. Joshua comes from Yeshua, meaning he saves. From there is Yeshua, which some of you may have heard before, meaning the Lord saves. This leads us back to the phrase at the end of verse 21, where it says, he will save the people from their sins. The name Jesus is full of rich history and deep meaning for the hearers of the gospel then and now. In verse 22 and 23, it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said to the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This is a reference to the Old Testament prophecy found in Isaiah 7:14. Jesus was a fulfillment of this prophecy and so many others. Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord saves, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus was God with us. He gave up heaven to come and to be with us. We keep time by his arrival, the birth that changed the world. B.C., A.D., one child, that birth changed the world. He came to teach us how to live, how to act towards one another, and how to love one another. But most of all, he came to save us. Yeshua, the Lord saves. So here we are this third Sunday of Advent. We've been lighting these candles every week, and we've been preparing our hearts and minds to celebrate the coming of the baby Jesus. We've lit the candle of hope, peace, this week, joy, and coming soon, love, and then the Christ candle to represent the salvation that he brings. So this Sunday, we light the candle of joy. It reminds us that there is so much joy in the birth of Jesus. There is great joy in the eternal life and the new life that he brings right now. Our faith in Jesus is what gives us the joy in the good times and the bad. Do you think this world could use a little joy this year? Do you think you could use a little joy this Christmas season? But I have to pause here and be honest. This is a little embarrassing to say. I was not prepared to preach on joy this Sunday. As of Thursday, I was ready to preach on love because I had it in my head that the third Sunday of Advent was love. Thankfully, on Thursday, I went to lunch with Nicole and Catherine to prepare for today. And I began to tell them about the wonderful sermon, life-changing message that I had prepared on love. And Catherine said, "You know, we're talking about joy." And I went, "Well, that certainly changes things." And actually, it's a little ironic that I didn't remember that I had these messages switched around. It's easy to get caught up in what's going on and forget to notice what's right around you. In the year 2020, it's pretty easy to lose sight of joy. It's much easier to focus on the negative and the bad. Not just forget the reason for the season, because sometimes even when we get the reason for the season, the birth of Jesus, right, we manage to miss everything that can come with it. I used to work down at Caswell. Some of you have been there. And while I lived there in the off season and all throughout the year, we attended a church that was in Southport, North Carolina. And so there was a moment where I went to pick a friend of mine up. His name was Jackson, and I picked Jackson up in my truck, and we were going to church. We attended the same church, and as we went to church that particular Sunday, we get there, and we made our way. We would have been sitting kind of over in this section of the church, and we had chairs, not pews, and that will be significant in a minute. And as we were singing one of the first songs, I began to notice an odor, and it was... clean this up as much as I can. It was a specific odor. It was an odor that only comes in from one type of smell. And I just went, "Jackson, really? Right here?" And the odor never left. And I thought, "God, that is terrible, Jackson. I can't believe you would do that right here. Like, why don't you excuse yourself?" This is what I'm thinking. I'm not saying this out loud. Keep in mind, the whole time the music is playing... Well, then I had this moment where something inside me said, "Aaron, look at the bottom of your shoes." Yeah, some of you know where this is headed. So I looked at my left shoe. I'm good. Looked at my right shoe. Not so good. And I realized that odor was stuck on the bottom of my shoe. I don't know if it was cat, raccoon, dog, cat. It really doesn't matter. But there I was in church, the cause of that terrible odor. So what I did is, as we sat, by the end of this, the songs were finishing and we sat down and the preacher was getting up to preach, and we were at where we were sitting was not really convenient for me to get up and limp out of the sanctuary. So I simply, there was no one in kind of the three or four chairs in front of me. So I leaned back as far as I could lean back, and I stuck my foot as far under the chair in front of me as possible and just prayed that nobody else noticed. Well, the interesting thing happened is the pastor got done, and as they began to sing the last song, I couldn't take it anymore. So I limped as best I could to the bathroom, and I took my shoe off, and I'm standing at the sink, and I'm washing my shoe off and using a paper towel and just disposing of things that need to be disposed of in the trash can, and it hit me. I didn't remember any of the songs that we sang that day. I didn't remember any of the scriptures. I could not tell you what the sermon was on because I was so concerned with the mess that I had brought into church that I missed it. I missed it. My fear for Christmas 2020 is that we're going to miss it. And I know that there has been some real suffering this year. I'm not here to diminish anything that has gone on, but we are bringing so much mess into Christmas. I'm worried we're going to miss it, because did we forget that the gospel is good news? John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's good news. That is good news. Jesus is good news. Jesus is joy. Psalm 126 verse 3 says, "The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy." Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "You make known to me the path of life, and your presence there is the fullness of joy." The fullness of joy in the presence of God. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and life to the full." Jesus is here to give you life. That's good news. And I worry we forgot that. I worry we're going to miss that because it's 2020. Oh, it's 2020. No, it's Christmas. It's Christmas. The baby Jesus was still born. The hope of the world was born, and we get to celebrate that good news even in 2020. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." It is still good news to hear that the baby Jesus was born. It is still good news to know that he was born to save. It is good news. And it should bring you joy to think about what God has done. In his presence, there is the fullness of joy. I pray that as we go throughout the rest of this Advent season, that we will remember to give this season the name Jesus. The name that Joseph gave the baby on that first Christmas. That we will think about the quiet witness and the steadfast faithfulness of Joseph. I hope this Christmas, just as Joseph had a choice, I hope this Christmas you will choose joy. I hope that you will cling to the joy of Christmas. Let the name of Jesus be what our Christmas is about. Let the name of Jesus bring you hope in your hurting. Let the name of Jesus bring you peace in the world of chaos. Let the name of Jesus bring you love for your broken heart. Let the name of Jesus bring you joy in your daily life. And let the name of Jesus bring you salvation as Christ the Savior. Let us bow before the name of Jesus this Christmas. Be restored. Be renewed. Have hope and so much joy. Would you pray with me? God, we are thankful for your gospel. The good, good news that your son Jesus was born. And God, not only was he born to teach us how to live, he was born to save us. God, help us to remember in the chaos of this year, that's still good news. God, thank you for the way that you love us. And thank you for the way that you give us this season to prepare to celebrate your son in the way we ought to and the way we need to. God, we love you, but it is only because you first loved us. It's in your precious and holy son, the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we close today, you may be saying to yourself, "That's great, but I don't even know where to start. I would like to make joy a daily habit. I would like to choose joy, but I'm not sure where to start." Let me offer a suggestion. My brother-in-law, Brett, sitting right here. Brett, raise your hand, wave. I will bet every dollar I made this year that Brett has a balloon or a balloon list in his pocket. Because Brett always has a balloon list or a balloon in his pocket. You see, one of the joys of Brett, he is always looking forward to what's next. These are happy tears. There are so many lessons that that young man has taught me. He is always looking forward to something. Y'all, I have been with Brett at a NASCAR race in Charlotte in Jeff Gordon's pit. That was his favorite NASCAR driver at that time. We are sitting in his pit. I'm me to that pew to Jeff Gordon's race car. And Brett says, "I'm going bowling with Pop on Tuesday." And I'm going, "Brett, you're at a NASCAR race. It doesn't matter. It's about what's coming. It's about what's coming." If you don't know how to reclaim joy in your life, make a balloon list. You see, every Saturday, Brett goes to Renee's. Not Bowling Springs Florist. Brett goes to Renee's. And every Saturday morning, he gets balloons. He calls Renee every day of the week to make sure she's going to be open on Saturday. And then he calls us to tell us that he called Renee to make sure she was going to be open on Saturday. He looks forward to that so much. It is no wonder he's one of the happiest people I know. He is the definition of joy. If you don't know how to reclaim joy this season, make a balloon list. Make a list of the things that you can't wait to get back to. Make a list of the things that make you happy. Make a list of the things that bring you joy. Make a list of the things that you are so looking forward to, you can't stand it. I firmly believe that if you make a balloon list, you're going to cling to the joy this Christmas season. You're going to remember the good, good God that we serve. And you're going to remember the good news. The good, good, joyful news that this Christmas season is all about. Let's go home and make a balloon list.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and
repeat, repeat the I'm going to do our benediction from back here. Aaron, thank you so much for your message this morning. I can't see you, but I'm looking through the railing. There you are. Thank you so much for leading us through your message this morning. I'm so glad we ate lunch on Thursday. That would have been really an interesting Sunday morning. But thank you for leading us in worship. I'm going to ask that you go to the door so that people can greet you this morning. I also want to ask that Robert Callahan go to the door this morning, if he doesn't mind, with Aaron. You've spoke a lot about being thankful for this church and for us. Ever since I've been here, if you needed something done, the first people you thought of were Robert and Pam. If you needed somebody to lead RAs, you thought of Robert. If you need somebody to sing, Robert and Pam. You need somebody to read, Robert and Pam. That was always the go-to two names that we always thought of when we needed something to be done. He has taught RAs faithfully and energetically when everyone else was scared to for the past several years. And I think we always knew that Robert and Pam were going to retire one day and go off and do ministry everywhere. And so 2020 has dealt us a blow that we unexpectedly lost Pam and that Robert is leaving us as well. But the wonderful thing about Robert is that most of us, when we retire, we think about all the things we can finally do for ourselves. We can finally take some peace and quiet. We can rest. We can visit family. A lot of the things we've heard from Robert the past couple months is about all the different ministries he wants to be a part of now that he has the time. He's not just moving to Colorado to take a break and visit with family. That's part of it. But he's talked about going to Guatemala, and he's going to hike the Appalachian Trail, and he wants to be all over the country doing all kinds of things for other people. And he has been a fantastic example. Him and Pam both have been just shining examples of what it means to be a follower of Christ. So, Robert, on behalf of all of us in our church, we love you, and we are desperately going to miss you, but we are also encouraged and inspired by what you plan to do with your time. So thank you for praying for us, but we will all be praying for you no matter where you are. And we know this is not goodbye. This is just see you soon, and we can't wait to hear from you and hear about all the things that God has been doing in your life. So thank you for the blessing you've been to Poplar Springs. We love you tremendously. So we're going to ask that you go to the door with Aaron. I want to remind you that your deacon of the week is Sid Bryson this week. So if you have any needs or concerns, you can call on Sid if you can't get Nicole or myself at the church. Would you pray with me as we prepare to exit worship today? God, what a joy it is to be in your house this morning, to have heard the songs of the faith, to hear your word proclaimed, God, to share together in fellowship and prayer. God, as Aaron reminded us this morning, God, as we go throughout our week, as we are heading towards Christmas morning, help us not to miss all of the goodness and the joy that you've set before us, God. There are a lot of things that can distract us. There are a lot of things that can get our attention. God, may you steer us away from those things and remind us of who you are. And remind us of the good news of this season. God, remind us of the joy we have in the simple act that you sent your son Jesus into this world to be our Savior. And God, as we discover that joy, may we be beacons of that joy to others. We love you, God, and it's in Christ, and we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone.